morning, and welcome to the WINY Talk Show. It's time for you to be heard. The talk show welcomes everyone's calls once per hour. Dial 928-1350 and tell Northeastern Connecticut your story.
Good morning. Welcome to another edition of the WINY Talk Show. I'm Paul Kuta. It is Monday, December 2nd, and we have with us in studio some old friends here. Andy Matthews, who is the president of the State Police Union, and Jim Esposito, who is the executive committee on the board of directors. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
All right. We've been talking on this station and in the newspapers and even with our local politicians about the fact that the barracks are going to be closed at irregular hours and holidays and weekends. Now we got some sort of report, and immediately as soon as the news director told me what the report was, I said, well, what does that mean? Because, you know, it's going to be open sometimes. We have no way to know when. What's the latest that you have, Mr. Matthews?
Well, we appreciate the opportunity to come here because we understand that the only way that this gets exposed in the public, you know, has some interest in it is if the media and the public contact their local elected leaders and stress to them how important it is to keep their troop open. So we appreciate the opportunity.
Well, just for information for the listeners, both of these gentlemen are state police officers. They are actually the people doing the job. Andy Matthews is the president of the association. He's also a state police sergeant. Trooper Esposito works out of Danielson. He understands the local issues. And as I said to you the other day on the air, I talked to a retired state trooper when I told him, and he said, I read about it. I can't understand it. People are in and out of that barracks at night all the time, especially tied to the fact we have a very high rate of domestic problems and abuse and it's hard during the weekends.
Yeah.
But it's all the time. That's public safety is almost always for politicians number one on the plate, and this time somewhere we got kind of sloughed off to the side. I don't get that.
Well, just one quick point of clarification. We're here on behalf of our members under Connecticut General Statute 5272. We have an obligation, a legal obligation, to represent our members and speak on their behalf.
Uh-huh.
We're not here as spokesmembers of the agency. That's Lieutenant Paul Vance and the Colonel themselves. So we're here to express our concerns for the safety of our members and the public regarding dispatch consolidation. So we've been expressing our frustration and the flaws with the system over the last year and a half. The Colonel came out about a year and a half, 2 years ago now, claiming that by creating a centralized dispatch would bring more efficiencies and more cost savings to the taxpayers. And we're here today, and we will continue to expose the flaws and the fact that it isn't saving the taxpayers money. They've bonded approximately $4 million just for the equipment alone for Western and Eastern District. Biweekly, there's about 800 hours of overtime for dispatchers alone. That doesn't include the troopers that are making more overtime as a result of it. There's real concern for the safety of our members because the way centralized dispatch has been configured, there's actually a significant delay in information getting out to the members in the field because of the way they've set up centralized dispatch. Look, you brought up a good point. Troop D and Troop K for the entire eastern part. Troop D alone carries the highest calls for service and criminal caseload for the entire state police. Troop D in Danielson.
I hear you.
They cover 41% of all domestic violence cases, Troop D and Troop K combined. So when you're talking about response times, accurate and immediate information, minutes and seconds can save lives, not just for the public, but for the troopers in the field. So we're fortunate. We've had conversations with Senator Williams, Representative Flexer, Representative Orange, several of the elected leaders. And we believe our main message today is we're asking the governor's office to please take a closer look at this public safety issue. Before we go any further, don't remove the dispatch consoles from each of the troops, Troop D, Troop K, and Troop E in Montville. Let's play this out. The union's not here to say centralized dispatch doesn't work. What we're saying is the way it's set up right now, it doesn't work. Someone's going to get hurt. You need to increase minimum staffing levels in the field. So,
well, the point, I think the thing around here that it resonates the most is that the barracks, I mean, I grew up in this town. I live in Killingly now. The barracks, I used to tell my daughter when she was growing up, if you ever have a problem, get to the barracks. Get to the barracks. Right. A point of refuge.
Right.
Not anymore.
Our troops are safe havens. And when the public goes up to the troop now and goes to pull on the door and the door is locked and the lights are off, the union has said for a year and a half that the troops would be closed. The colonel and his administration have publicly said that the union is misleading the public. They've quoted us as saying we don't like change, and we've said we don't like dangerous change. We don't mind change. We just don't like dangerous change. And they've also called some of the comments that we've made propaganda. And I think what the governor's administration, this is not the governor's fault. We believe that the governor actually is just listening to the colonel and the commissioner and believing what, and he has to, because he has so many different agencies, he has to listen and trust in what the people are saying to him that are leading the agencies. We think that the governor's office is open to hearing our concerns. And I think as days go on, they're realizing that a lot of what we're saying is true. So
I'm, you know, as I sit and listen to you, this is not, obviously we've been kicking this around for a while. Tell me about the new change. They're going to now open it sometimes when they were going to keep it closed, but nobody knows what the times are.
Actually, we give a lot of credit to WINY itself, because after we had an interview this past week for about a little over an hour with some of the elected leaders from Killingly and your radio station, the next morning we were notified, nothing in writing, of course, nothing related to dispatch consolidation that we're aware of is in writing, which is odd in of itself. But we were informed that verbally the day shift from 7 o'clock in the morning approximately until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the troops will be open. Our guess is that's because we've put so much pressure on them publicly that now they're going to keep the local patrol trooper that they claimed was coming off the desk inside the troop. Many of the other troops, like Montville, they're taking that trooper that used to be on the desk, they're keeping them in the troop 24/7. They've called them, classified it an administrative trooper. They give them assignments. And the whole point of dispatch consolidation, per the colonel, was to put the trooper back out on patrol. And we said that doesn't work, because the troops are already regionalized. Troop D. Danielson covers about 120,000 residents, about 11 towns. And the problem with Danielson is you only have two organized police departments, Putnam and Plainfield.
And Putnam only covers the commercial district.
Right.
Only Plainfield covers the entire town.
Right. And we only have three towns of resident troopers. We have Killingly, who's gracious enough to have four resident troopers, the town of Chaplin, and the town of Brooklyn. So, and no constabulary, no constables. So Troop D itself is why we're here today. The constituents that live in this area need police services. You don't close their police department without having public hearings, legislative hearings, and input from the public. And unfortunately, the colonel has ignored the union. The men and women doing the job in the field have valuable input to make this work. We can make this work, but we're clear to say today, we're not saying that centralized dispatch doesn't work. The way they currently have it set up, it's dangerous. Before, you had two live humans. Put aside for a minute that he thinks that having a trooper inside the troop is a waste of taxpayers' money. There's a real value to having a trooper who understands the law and responds to calls and knows what calls troopers should be going on. That's one thing. Put two civilian dispatchers inside the troop and keep the troop open to the public 24/7. That's what should have happened. But the colonel has ignored the concerns that the members in the field have had, and he still continues to ignore us. You would think after us going public so many times and so often, which we will continue to do this week at Troop D and Danielson and all the other troops, we're going to have public press conferences, invite the media statewide, because we feel that at some point we're going to have another Heather Messenger case, or we're going to have a trooper severely injured or killed, unfortunately, in the line of duty.
That's been the fear all along from myself and people I talk to. Somebody's going to have to die or get severely injured before any response comes. And that's usually too late. We're going to take a break, then we'll grab a phone call. Community Radio, WINY. And we're back with Andrew Matthews, who's the head of the State Police Union, and Jim Esposito, who was a member of the Executive Board of the State Police Union. And we're talking about the Danielson Barracks and the part-time closure of the barracks of the irregular hours in order to cut money, which nobody thinks is around here is a good idea. I haven't heard one person to say they think it's a good idea. given the circumstances. It's just that we don't have quite as many votes as some of the other places. But, well, we got a phone call here. Let's take it and see what we get. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
Fine.
Morning, sir.
Good. Paul, I live in the Stone Road area of town.
Oh, you got hit the other day, huh? My road got hit, too.
Well, it's a light word. God is gracious that he didn't wake some of us up, because you would have more of a mess up here than you had in paperwork.
Yeah, I don't think that. I want to break into your house based on our previous conversations.
Well, it's just, you know, I've lived here 12 years. We built our house here. I haven't heard one call come in except mine, but it could be my fault. Maybe someone else in the neighborhood called in. The story goes like this. My monitor picked up at 2 o'clock in the morning that something went by. And, you know, we have a lot of deer up here. And, of course, if you cry wolf sometimes, you're not going to answer. My stupidity, I should have got up and at least looked out the window. But the monitor did his job, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I wasn't. I talked with the state trooper. I'm very friendly with some state troopers in Rhode Island. They had a similar circumstance right here, Scituate, Foster area, right up on our border, where thieves went into vehicles, didn't cause a lot of damage, picking up sunglasses, Dunkin' Donuts change, you know, rifling through to see what's going on. And they kind of swoop a neighborhood like these blackbirds that come down every once in a while, you know, and throw the leaves up, except these are rodents. So anyway, I call the troop. I got thrown into the dispatch. Now, in 12 years, I think I've called the troop maybe 3 times. We kind of handle it on ourselves up here, little things. But anyway, I called them just to report the incident from my insurance company. Dispatcher was kind of confused where Stone Road was. I was kind of amazed. So anyway, I put it in. He said, yes, it was during the chain shift. I guess I picked the wrong time. At any rate, 2-3 hours went by. I was doing some things. No trooper. Called the dispatch. Got a different person, a woman. She kind of chuckled that there were a lot of break-ins. You know, that kind of got me flamed up a little. And that, you know, it's only kids and this and that. You know, the fact of the matter is, it's personal property. The fact of the matter is, I work for it. The fact of the matter is, I have my golf club ready, Paul, because I won't shoot them. I'll beat him to death with a golf club.
Use a sand wedge. It doesn't flex as much, and it's got a little more weight in the head.
Well, maybe our governor will outlaw golf. You'll have to get a license to go buy golf clubs, because I can't even buy .22 ammunition anymore at Kmart over here.
Well, fortunately, so anyway, you're close to Rhode Island anyway.
So. Well, yeah, you know, there's other avenues. But anyway, you know, that's the sad thing. That's the very sad thing. I went to Arizona recently and came back. They referred to us, Connecticut. I was introduced. You know, I'm a Yankee. They laugh the accent. You know, they say, do you understand us? I say, about as much as you understand me. And anyway, when it was announced that I was from Connecticut, these guys just kind of froze up and looked at me. And they were like the wrecking ball of the U.S. And I looked at them. I said, what did you say? And they said, your state, man. He said, what are you all, sucking air up there? He said, you're the wrecking ball of the United States. Now, I'm in Arizona. These guys carry on the street. And in Tucson, there ain't much trouble. Maybe with some Mexicans. Where am I going with all this, Paul? I got my golf club ready. Our governor has disarmed us, pretty much. So you disarm the public, you take the police away, and this is the reality of it up here. It's pretty simple. And you tell the folks, well, we don't have enough money in the taxes. My question with all this is, where is my adjustment in state taxes downward? If you're going to take a service away from me that I've been paying for right along, or I pay for as a United States citizen, then reimburse me. Where's my reimbursement, Paul?
You know, I don't live all that far from you.
I know.
The bottom line is, if this was a town that had a local police department or had a lot of local police departments around, if this region had a lot of local police departments, we don't.
We depend on
the barracks. We depend, and there's got to be some center of policing that's available 24/7, because they don't, you know, criminals just don't punch a clock. You know, 24/7, it goes on.
Yeah, and criminals don't go down and get a permit to buy a pistol or to buy ammunition, and because they want to avoid the taxes, right, Paul?
Yeah, well,
you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. If they're going to use a weapon in a crime, they're not going to worry about violating a statute. Let's put it that way.
I could take you when we go to Hartford this afternoon and buy a couple, you know? That's how easy it is.
Yeah,
anyway,
I understand. I get it.
The last one is when the police force was intact here. I'll give you another scenario. 2:00 in the morning, again, except I was up. I had friends here. We were having a nice evening, glass of wine. A friend of mine had to release himself, if you will, looked at me. He's from the city. He's from New Bedford. I said, go right up in the woods, man. Okay, we both had a little learn. He came flying back in the woods. He said, Steve, you got a white horse up there. And the cat had a little, you know, a few drinks. I said, David, take it easy. Lo and behold, here comes a white horse out of the woods. Now, you know where we live, Paul. I've had cows, animals, all kinds.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So I'm laughing. I went over. The horse was gentle. I put a thing on him, walked him away, called the police. Tied him up over here to a tree. I don't know whose horse he was. He was white. Called the police. 2 hours. This is at 2:00 a.m. I had to stay up with this damn horse till 4:00 a.m. till the guy showed up. It was Resident Kaywitz or somebody up here's horse. He got loose. But I had to sit here with the horse, and that's when the police department was intact. Granted, it wasn't an emergency, it was a horse.
Well, there are only about 4 road troopers in this region on the road at any one time, and that's not something they like to advertise, but that adds more credence to why are we closing the barracks down, for God's sakes.
Exactly, and the pressure on these boys and the pressure on these men out there, and I still know I'm a resident state trooper here, is tremendous. Instead of our governor pulling these guys away, he's nice and cozy towards New York City. You know, we're out here in the woods. You know, I've had cars stolen with a trunk full of heroin flipped over in front of my house 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
I'll tell
dogs running around chasing criminals through my woods.
You got a lot of excitement down here on Stone Road. It's all more boring where I am.
They closed, here we go. They closed the bridges for 2 or 3 years. So the excitement factor went up, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, there's a bunch of us sitting around. I listen to your show. I know the dilemma here. And I hear some of these things going on. There was a trooper on last week that announced somebody thought someone was casing someone's house. You remember that one? It was an old man looking for a fishing spot.
Yep, I know.
It turned into a TV show.
Yep.
And, I mean, that's, you know, you can chuckle at some of the things I'm saying, but on the serious side of things, there are some of us that have had it.
Well, and you're right. We probably could use more rather than less. We probably could use more peace of mind rather than less. This does nothing to help us in any way.
And to hell with your budget, Mr. Governor, I've heard the governor's not aware, you know. Don't tell me the governor's not aware of all this stuff. The governor knows everything going on. Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
Take one of these research programs. You know, take one of those, like researching how the ants migrate through Thompson, and ditch it, and put that money into the police department, because I don't know if you guys know it or not, jobs are short. We're at the favorite time of the year. No one has money. And what do they think people are going to do?
I got you.
I mean, it happened out here, Paul.
Boy, I got you warmed up today, but I got to let you go. We're gonna work and talk our way through this, and I appreciate your input. And listen, make sure you use an overlapping grip on that sand wedge.
I will, and God bless these troopers at Christmas time.
All right.
I know you guys are away, and you're dealing with some real far-out stuff. God bless you.
Since you said that, the troopers, the Killingly resident state trooper toy drive is set in stone. It's the December 7th and 14th, 9:30 to 3:00 at both Benny's in Killingly, both of them, the one in both parts of town, Walmart in Putnam, Kmart in Putnam, Walmart in Brooklyn, and Ocean State Job Lot in Brooklyn. So bring some toys for the kids. The troopers are doing it. Take care, my friend. Okay. Wow. Amazing.
So if we could just make one quick comment.
Sure.
We appreciate the gentleman's passion. We do understand his concern about the budget coming before public safety. Over the last 4 years, we've seen a reduction of $40 million in the state police budget. Over 231 troopers were down since our high of 1,283 troopers in 2009. But the one thing the union leadership and our members as troopers, we take an oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution. We don't support or condone the public resorting to violence themselves unless their family is in danger, immediate danger or threat of to their family or themselves. We understand the concern, but the troopers, we want to make it very clear today that the troopers are here. We're still going to find a way to get to the calls for service. Things will be prioritized. One of the problems out here in the rural area, the northeast corner of the state, is that a lot of troopers don't live in the northeast corner. So a lot of off-duty or on-duty troopers, there's not as many as there is centrally located in the state, which provides more of a service to the public. What we're saying is just because you live in Danielson in the troop area shouldn't mean that you get less of a service from the state police. And the problem with the colonel's message is that he knows that it's one day that we're here on WINY. He knows it's one day that we're in the press if the media gets a hold of the issue. And he also capitalizes on the fact that he knows that the only time the public will have outrage is when it's when you need the police service, when you need the state police. And there's less people that need, not everybody, that 120,000 people that live in Troop D's area need the state police every day. So he counts on the fact that it's a very few isolated situations where there's an outrage. And we are fearful that at some point it's going to come to where somebody takes the law into their own hands or someone gets killed. And that's why we're here continuing to push the issue.
Maybe you should only use a pitching wedge. All right. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, go ahead. It's your dime.
Okay, thank you. I would just like to say, I know while I was out campaigning, I had gotten a couple of complaints about response times as far as the state police go, and people upset because of something that was already mentioned. You know, you tell somebody to go to the barracks if they think they're in trouble.
You're a Killingly counselor, so you would know this.
Yes. And, in fact, we're all getting sworn in this evening.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But, you know, it was a concern. Someone had their house broke in, and it took a little over 25 minutes for a response because he was told the trooper was doing an accident up by the Massachusetts state line. And we all know what, as I call it, the Smurf phone hasn't done much for people going to the barracks. And, you know, what are you supposed to do, go to Walmart now because that's open 24 hours a day?
A point of refuge. Just got to buy something.
Yeah. But you know, this really isn't working out. And then I've also seen, of course, because the troopers have to go to Tallinn now if they have, you know, have made an arrest. So that's taken even more time off, you know, that they would have patrolling.
Well, another thing, Lynn, that's come up here, talking to the troopers, if they make an arrest, they have to bring them to the barracks, and then another trooper has to come off the road. They cannot have a one-to-one with the guy that arrested them. So now you have two troopers in the barracks with the arrestee, and therein lies the problem. And now you've got two guys off the road that was supposed to be more. So the patrol is impacted. Now, if the van that's supposed to pick the prisoner up is busy because of another arrest, now the trooper has to go out of the region to Tallinn, and now it's all back roads.
Yeah.
To drop them off and then come back, and so therefore that trooper's off the road anyway. And you know the fact that 41% of the domestics around here are in this region—not exactly something we want to be bragging about, but it's the truth. That's been the truth for a long time, by the way. It's not new.
Yes.
This is not helping the people. This public safety almost always comes first. And politicians know this. Well, you're a pretty regular listener to the show. Have you heard anybody call in and say, I'm for this move?
No, no one.
And when you campaigned door to door to door, did you hear anybody say this?
No.
And the reason is people want more safety, not less.
Exactly.
Yeah, just one point of clarification, ma'am. The delay in service is definitely there. The Legislative Review Committee did a study on the state police, and they claimed that through their study that it took for 911 calls, which, you know, the most important function of our agency is to respond when there's a deadly force situation or potentially deadly force situation. So on 911 calls, in their study, it said that 911 calls, we answered calls within 15 minutes, at least 50% of the time, which means 50% of the time we were over 15 minutes. And if you remember the Heather Messenger case in 1998 in Chaplin, it took us approximately 20 minutes because the trooper that was covering those three towns was actually tied up on an adjoining patrol on another domestic. So by the time we got there, unfortunately, you know, and who knows if we were closer, could we have saved her life? No one will ever know that. But the point is, you shouldn't be putting more stress on the system. And just one last point of clarification is, when a trooper makes an arrest now, if the person can't be released on their own or bonded out, they have to travel, they have to be incarcerated at Corrigan down in the Montville area. So what's happening, and which the colonel's not telling the public, is instead of traveling to Tolland, we try to turn our prisoners over to the Department of Corrections down in Corrigan, which is about a 40-minute ride in good weather. So come this winter, we'll have more troopers. That's when Paul says the troopers outside the troop area. That's true. But here's what's happened. This is real live feedback from the troopers in the field. Recently, we had a trooper make an arrest, had to transport the prisoner to Corrigan. DOC likes to get the prisoners before 11 p.m. When we got there at 11:03, they turned the trooper around and said that they wouldn't accept them. They came all the way back to Danielson, so now you've spent probably a good hour and a half traveling to and from. You still have possession of the prisoner. To come to Danielson to have another trooper on the midnight shift, because you don't want to pay overtime, to take that prisoner and drive to Tolland through 101 Route 44 all the way to 72 over to Tolland. What we're saying as a union is, if the dispatch consolidation is going to put that kind of stress on the troopers in the field, it's going to take them, and that's not, and during that transportation of that one prisoner, another prisoner had to be transported to Corrigan like around 3 hours later. So you had two of your very limited minimum patrol staffing level in Troop D's area outside your troop area, off the radio channel and another frequency. And we're saying that's where the danger lies. Unless you increase the minimum staffing levels to complement or to balance when people are outside their troop areas transporting prisoners, which wasn't our function prior to this. When the troop was open locally, you could house your prisoners in the troop because you had a civilian dispatcher and a trooper inside the troop. So those are the real risks and dangers that the trooper, the commissioner, and the colonel will not tell the public.
Lynn, I have a suggestion. Mm-hmm. Being a councilor sworn in tonight, introduce a resolution by the town council to send to the governor's administration saying, you know, this impacts Killingly more than any other town as a point of refuge. I mean, it's right there in town. If it's closed, obviously it's to the detriment of the town. Certainly there's no way to say it's better. A resolution from the council might work.
You know, that just might, and I can bring that up this evening.
All right, Lynn. Nice talking to you. Thanks for your call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
We'll be right back.
The holidays are approaching quickly. This is Missy Bonsall for Generations Family Health Center. Before the holiday rush begins, take the time to take care of yourself so you have a happy and healthy holiday season. Get a physical and have a dental checkup or cleaning so that you will be healthy and ready to enjoy the holidays. If you have not done so yet, there is still time to get a flu and pneumonia shot so you don't spend the holidays sick in bed. Need to talk to someone about the stresses of the upcoming holiday season or everyday life? Then make an appointment with our behavioral health department. Visit our site in Putnam for your medical, dental, or behavioral health needs, or visit our Danielson office for your medical care. You can find more information at genhealth.org or call today at 860-963-7917 to make an appointment in Putnam, or 860-774-7501 for an appointment in our Danielson office. New patients of all ages are welcome.
Generations Family Health Center in Willimantic, Putnam, Norwich, and Danielson.
Shell V-Power Premium Gasoline removes an average of 60% of performance-robbing gunk on intake valves left by low-quality premium gasolines. And it starts with your very first tank. So when you fill up, car, engine, and performance come together to make your drive come alive. Choose Shell V-Power today and save at least 3 cents per gallon with the Fuel Rewards Network program. Sign up at fuelrewards.com.
Who said Black Friday was the only day you could save big? It's Lumber Liquidators' Yellow and Black Friday Flooring Sale. All EasyClick floors are on sale, including laminates 20% off. Get up to $500 off any Bellawood pre-finished floor with a coupon. Plus, take 20% off power tools and save on other great gifts. And get special extended financing. Save big every day of the week at our Yellow and Black Friday Flooring Sale. Don't miss it. Sale ends Tuesday. Hurry to LumberLiquidators.com or your local store before it's too late. Financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payment required.
My sister is a great mom. They don't have a lot. Still, she makes everyone feel loved. Her son is really good at school. He's athletic, and they say he may also be musically talented. Like, seriously talented. His teachers are already talking about college. It freaks her out. She wants to give him the opportunity, but like I said, they don't have much. I asked her if she thought about Milton Hershey School.
Milton Hershey School provides amazing opportunities, including the chance for college scholarships, and it's free for children from lower-income families. Join us for a free meal and presentation Wednesday, December 4th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Killingley Public Library, 25 Westcott Road, Danielson. This could be the first step towards a brighter future for your child. For more information, visit us online at mhskids.org. Remember, Wednesday, December 4th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Killingley Public Library. Visit us, and you could win Hershey Park tickets.
My sister's looking into Milton Hershey School. Like I said, she's a great mom.
The leaves are falling and so are the prices. King Cadillac GMC in Putnam. There's no better time than now to head down to King and experience the royal treatment. Buy from the team with the experience that you can trust. 2014s are arriving daily, which means the 13s have to go. Fantastic discounts and rates on all 2013 Cadillac and GMCs in stock. The new 2014 GMC Sierra has arrived. Come down and see it for yourself. While you're here, check out our pre-owned specials. 2012 Chevy Impala for only $13,995. Looking for something foreign? Or 2010 Audi A4 wagon for $23,995. These are just a few of King Cadillac GMC's pre-owned specials. Let's not forget, winter is on the way. Call Obie and ask about the Snow Pro for all your snow plowing needs. Call 860-928-5464. Remember, King Cadillac GMC has been your hometown dealer for over 77 years. Stop by today and get the royal treatment from the King. That's King Cadillac GMC, 139 Pomfret Street, Putnam.
Hello, this is Karen Osbury. It's the holiday season, the season of caring and sharing. I invite my fellow business leaders to join the WINY radio food chain for daily bread and Teague. Link by link, we can help feed our neighbors. We're off to a really great start thanks to the generous support of Wheeler Brader Putnam Inc., Antiques Marketplace, Putnam Farmers Co-op, Putnam Bank, Sunrun Gardens and Gift Shop, King Cadillac GMC, Johnston & Associates Real Estate, Sean and Rachel Johnston, Long Meadow Automotive, The Citizens National Bank, Gilman & Villard Funeral and Cremation Services, Archambault Insurance Associates, Putnam Chrysler Dodge Jeep Kia, Westview Healthcare Center, Hometown Heating, Portraits by Nan, the Putnam Elks Pitch League, and Jade Garden. To join our radio food chain, just call me, Karen O, at WINY Radio at 860-928-1350, and I'll tell you how to join. Your tax-deductible donation of $100 or more will benefit Daily Bread or Teague. You choose the recipient. Both are 501c3 charities. From everyone at WINY Radio, Daily Bread and Teague, happy holidays, and thank you for joining our radio food chain.
Can I help you, sir?
I hope so, Melissa. I have a package that needs to be delivered by Christmas Day, and I'll never get this one to my wife before I return. Not only that, but it will never fit on my sleigh.
Sure, no problem. There's nothing we can't ship here at Express Shipping and Office Supply. From heavy freight to a simple Christmas card, we can get it where it needs to go in a hurry.
Ho, ho, that I know. That's why I'm here. Oh, and I need a new adding machine.
Sure thing, sir. Now, where should I ship this stuff?
Just address it to Mrs. Claus, Santa's Village, North Pole.
Oh, you know, I thought you looked familiar, and then when you knew my name, I knew it was you.
Thanks, Melissa. And remember, I'm always watching. Okay, Rudolph, it's time to go. On Dasher, on Dancer.
Express
on
Shipping Dancer, and Office Supply. We ship for everyone, even the big guy. Express Shipping, where you can not only ship, but receive with your own P.O. box at the corner of Providence Street and Kennedy Drive in Putnam.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas.
Lisa Sarant is an RN in the Killingley Public School System, and when she had a total knee replacement, she chose Macholitis for her short-term rehab.
It was a wonderful choice. The physical therapists were wonderful. I got physical therapy twice a day. The staff was very, very caring. They treat you like you're one of the family, like you're a loved one. Very attentive to pain management, making me comfortable, supporting me through the whole process, and giving me the tools so when I went home, I could continue my physical therapy and the pain management. Every single person there, right down to the housekeeping, are very caring people. It was a very good experience. When I have my second knee replacement, I will go back there. I would highly recommend going to Macholitis.
Quality, excellence, and caring is the promise to you and your family from Macholitis. Pre-book your private suite today by calling Macholitis at 963-0245 and see them online at macholitisnh.org.
Community Radio, WINY.
And we're back with Andy Matthews, head of the State Police Union, and Jim Esposito, who is on the executive board of the State Police Union, and both state police officers, but not here as state police officers, here as members of the union by law. Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, Sue. Good. I'm glad to hear from you.
I have a couple of things that with the response of the troopers. I don't know much about the Smurf phone, but I don't believe too many of us who have called for emergencies race down to the troop to call the troop. Most of them come from our homes. I myself have called the cops repeatedly, the state troopers, repeatedly for a man that bothers me next door. Some of the horror that he's done, cut my trees when I'm gone, come over the fence, destroyed my dog's beautiful graves. This man has been a thorn for a long time. And his girlfriend throw eggs at the house, and I get no response from the cops. And when they do come, they do nothing for him. Well, just 2 months ago, three peaches ended up in his yard from rodents. I have a pile where I put all my, I have a lot of fruit trees of different sorts, cherries, peaches, apples, pears. And I put them, I clean them up so the rodents aren't all over the yard and it doesn't draw the fruit flies. And I put them in a compost. Well, I called and they didn't show up. He come home in the morning, he shows up, he calls for three peaches being dragged in his yard, accusing me of throwing them over, and they send a trooper. It's to me, it's almost like a discrimination sometime when they talk to a man or a woman, and the way they answer the call. It's not that I'm not glad that they come in. It surprises me that they open, they always take the lock off the gate and come in. The lock is there because I have a puppy that will jump right on him to disturb his clothes if he's out, or I don't want this dog to escape and get into the road. So I prefer they not do it, but they do it, and I put up with it. But, you know, I've gotten picked up at 5 o'clock in the morning for somebody parked across the street with a loud muffler with the radio blasting. And my biggest thing when you go to the troop, if you don't have a cell phone on you, there's no phone call. I did not get a phone call. I was in my pajamas. They need to make sure that that phone is not a pay phone, that these people, when they need a ride home, I walked home in my, I was picked up by someone, thank goodness, in my pajamas. Well, on the day that I had no brassiere, no nothing on. I hadn't had my medication. I was
GMI.
Like, it was embarrassed. Well, you may think it's funny, but I was so like embarrassed. I passed out twice almost. And, I was just very shocked at sometimes how it's handled, and now I hear these guys are saying this is wrong with
well, I'm the subject, though, Sue. I mean, let's just stick to the subject.
Right.
If the barracks is closed, when you call, the call takes longer to get, you're not even going to get a longer time.
I was right here in Rogers.
Uh-huh.
When I call for an egg to be thrown over, that was thrown over, smashed, they don't do anything or fingerprint the egg. They don't even show up. But yet, three peaches that rodents dragged in his yard, I had a good-sized state trooper come here and tell me not to throw them. I showed him where I put these peaches. I have had trouble with this. What they need to do in the troops as well is have a cork board and put all these complaints that continuously come in, record them so that they know what's going on and who is right and who is wrong and how many times this happens. I'm constantly getting harassed by this person. I mean, I can't shovel over the sidewalk. Years ago, I shoveled just a little bit over the line, and he grabbed onto my shovel, and I pulled it back. But because I yanked it back from him, it was my shovel, I was shoveling, I hit myself in the head and dented and cut my head. He could not be arrested because the trooper just left. We should have both been arrested and sorted out in court. There are many, you know, and I'm not saying I see some of the good work that these troopers do. I can't say, you know, tell you out there that I'm dissatisfied and say that I don't.
So I've got to cut you loose. I've got another bunch of calls. I hear you.
I'd like to commend them, especially on the food drives that they have, and some of them that have not been using the standing right in front of the handicap. They're parked over, and
all
it's
right.
been so cold, and they do such a great job. I can't say one without the other, you know what
all
I
right,
mean?
All right, you go.
Thank you, but be attentive when somebody calls, if it's a man or a woman, and what exactly their history needs to be recorded.
Gotcha.
You have a great day. All of you, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We appreciate her recognizing the service that our unique troopers provide. We really appreciate that. But a lot of times, that's a perfect example of how the public doesn't understand the difference between a civil dispute and a criminal intent dispute, so criminal action.
There you go. There's a triage almost as to the importance, and that's when you show up time is. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. I have just a couple of comments. It's pretty clear that the idea that Stubbins, as I understand it, the idea that Stubbins had, he proposed to an earlier administration and they turned him down. So now that he's in a position of power, if you will, he pushes this through. It doesn't look like it's going to be a particularly helpful thing, particularly in our area. However, he is in a position of power. He is not going to back down. How are you going to allow him to save face?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. You are correct. The current Colonel Danny Stebbins was a major on our job previously in 2000 and 2005. He came up with this idea himself. He proposed the idea, did a lot of research. It was presented to the current administration at the time. Our leadership actually did a study themselves, and they did not support the idea and actually issued a report saying that it shouldn't be done here in Connecticut. I think their general sense was, Lieutenant Colonel Terenzi was here at the time. I think he signed off on it, if I'm not misunderstanding the facts. But the administration rejected that theory many years ago for a good reason, because we were already regionalized, and the administration thought it would put us more at risk. How do we help him save face? The proper response from the colonel should be, unlike he did with the dispatchers union, he sat down and negotiated the change in working conditions and how it impacted the members, their members. He never did such a thing with the state police union before implementing the centralized dispatch in the Western District. Some of our, and I will say that many of our leaders of the rank of lieutenant or higher are in a difficult position, because they can't, many of them tell us privately they're opposed to the idea. They know that it puts people at risk. They're trying to do the best they can with what they have. But if they speak up, we're protected by law. So if Jimmy, I'm doing a lot of the talking because Jimmy still works patrol, I don't. We are protected by law. They aren't. They would find themselves quickly assigned to an assignment that they're not comfortable with or fortunate to have. So the way he saves face is he actually sits down, he listens to the men and women in the field doing the job, and finds a way to make it so that people aren't more at risk. And he's not willing to do that, so we have to continuously come to the public.
I would say that probably the reason he got the appointment in the first place is he promised savings, in economies based on his idea. And it looks like it's not coming to fruition at any rate. And now the political pressure is going to get ratcheted up. Don't forget, our legislators are coming back the 1st of February, roughly, in that area. And they didn't get a shot at this, and I don't think they're particularly happy about it. So we'll go from there. But that's a darn good question.
Just a quick question. How is it doing in the western part of the state where they've done the same thing?
It's a good question.
We got about a minute.
Yeah, it's in the Western District. There's a troop called North Canaan. It's up in the northwest corner. The union leadership believes in a troop like that, you could probably merge. But troops like Danielson with the highest criminal activity in the whole state, troops like Montville, you can't do the same because of the frequency of calls for service and activity. So it's working better out there, but we don't believe that it works in the Eastern District.
Okay, for sure. Thanks for your call.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we're gonna take a break. We'll break for news. When we come back, we'll continue this. We'll continue to take calls. I'm interested in what you have to say and your reactions to this. Our lawmakers didn't get a shot at it, and they represent us.
Welcome to the second hour of the WINY Talk Show. Call 928-1350 to be heard. Telephone lines are open, so call now.
Well, Welcome back to our second hour. I'm Paul Kutu. We have with us the State Police Union President, Andrew Matthews, and we have a road trooper from the town of Killingley, Jim Esposito. Now, and he's works out of Danielson Barracks. If you are a state police official right now in Hartford, listening to this officially, we are not crazy people up here. We understand budget cuts. We don't have a lot of money here anyway. We never have. We do have, unfortunately, a lack of local police departments. We have been concerned and are concerned about the safety and the security of this region for a long time. We are not trying to hurt you. I just don't think you fully understand the situation based on budgetary constraints. It's not the same as, you know, every town has, and every region has its own problems and its own situations to deal with. I've been talking about this ever since it came out. I don't like what you've done, and I don't think it's going to work for the people. And I haven't, since I've been talking about it, usually as a talk show host, you bring something up and everybody comes out of the woodwork, some are for it, some are against it. Nobody's been for this because they realize it's not as good as what we had. No matter what change you make, unless that barracks is open 24/7, it is not as good for us. And listeners, if you are concerned about this, I'm going to give you Colonel Stebbins' phone number. 860-930-3625. I'll say the phone number again. 860-930-3625. Stebbins is spelled S-T-E-B-B-I-N-S. His email address, for those of you who are computer people and like to use those, it's D-A-N-N-Y dot S-T-E-B-B-I-N-S at C-T dot gov. D-A-N-N-Y dot S-T-E-B-B-I-N-S at C-T dot gov. Let him know how you feel. I kind of get to pitch her as a talk show host for this region, but maybe they don't get the station up in Hartford. So we'll see what happens. Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
This is State Representative Danny Rivero.
Danny, nice to hear from you.
Morning, sir.
I just want to tell Sergeant Matthews and
Andy
Esposito not to give up. You know, I'm in Hartford today, and I can tell you that the senators and the representatives in the northeast corner of the state are not giving up. In fact, I'm here today, and before I leave, I intend to try to talk to one of the governor's aides and explain to him what's going on. I don't really think, and I'm not sticking up for the governor, I really don't think the governor has a full idea of just what's happening in northeast Connecticut. You know, they talk about saving money. Nobody's going to save any money. This is going to cost more money before they're done. And I tell you, I have a big problem. And I've met three times now with the governor's liaisons. And they agree with me. And they keep on saying, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Well, I'm sick of listening, we're going to do. You know, I sit here at the legislature, and we always find money for the big city's favorite programs. And I sit and say, look at, all we're looking for in Northeast Connecticut is some safety, public safety. I mean, I sit on the public safety committee, and all they talk about is cutting. And I'm saying, look at folks, you're taking away everybody's guns. And now you want to take away their police protection. I mean, what is going on? I happen to have a scanner, and I know what the Sergeant Matthews is talking about. The other night I was listening, and there was someone at Troop D, and they were looking for some help. They had a serious problem. The dispatchers and whatever they are now called out and said, look, you got to get back to the troop right away and so forth. And he explained to the dispatcher that it would be a minimum of 20 minutes because he was way out in the northeast corner of Woodstock. Now, is this the kind of protection that we need? I don't think so. You know, I don't mind cutting back because I'm a very conservative person, but I think the last thing we have to cut back is public safety for the residents. I mean, we're paying a substantial amount of tax in Connecticut, and we should have some protection. And this business of cutting back on the troop is I mean, that is one joke. I mean, they come out with a study, and I think they know they need more troopers, but you don't hear anything about the study. You know, it's time that not only do the legislators, but the people, like you said, write to Colonel Stebbins and tell him just what's happening. I mean, it might be working at his end of the state, but I'm not sure he's ever been out here worked Troop D, because if he did, he wouldn't have the attitude he has.
Well said.
Dan, I you know, totally agree, and I, you know, I also am a fiscal conservative. I'm a social moderate and a liberal, but I am not a fiscal. They bonded $4 million for this? They have more bonding? Are you kidding me? You know, they borrowed money to do this to us? That when I heard that, it was like, wait a minute, they borrowed money to cut our services. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
And they did it in the name of saving money. And I think everybody that knows anything about finances is know when it's all said and done, they're not going to save any money, and we're going to have less protection. I mean, you know, we find money for everything, every special program that these people want. Well, it's time that we turn around and say, look at the people that are paying the bills. We've got to give them protection, and that's what we're not doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind helping people that are needy, but folks, we got to help, not only help them, but we have to help the person that is paying the tab, and that's by giving them the police protection, the public safety protection they should receive, and we're not doing it under this program.
You know, you said something, Dan, and Andy Matthews said something, and I actually agree with both of you. I don't think the governor gets this. The governor is running for re-election. The governor would not intentionally do something like this to hurt himself in an area where he probably couldn't use to pick. He could use some vote pickup, and this isn't going to help. I mean, people take everything that happens into account when they go to the polls. I don't think he understands this, because if he did, I don't think he'd do it. It just, if nothing else, for political reasons. But I think he's also a person, regardless of his style, that cares, but you can't care if you don't know.
Well, I think you're 100% right. I don't think he fully comprehends just what's happening. And I'm not knocking him, because, you know, it's hard to say that we have a different circumstance at Troop D than he do at the other end of the state. I mean, people don't realize that all of towns in Northeast Connecticut, outside of Putnam in the small district and Plainfield, have no police protection at all, and outside of the state police. And, I mean, they do a wonderful job, but there's only so much you can do with a few amount of troopers. And it's time that they realize this and say, look it, we've got to give the taxpayers more for their dollars.
There you go.
Representative, thank you for your comments. And this actually, your points are actually an illustration to the public, your constituents, of your advocacy for the, because you've been a supporter of public safety for a long time, and you understand that the primary function of government is to provide public safety. If that's not the most important function of government, what is then? And we appreciate your continued support and your comments.
I'll tell you, you have your two local representatives, Mayflex and myself, and Senator Williams, and even Mike Albert, and everybody up in Northeast Connecticut.
That's true.
Are saying what's going on, and we have to stop, and we have to give the people the protection that they deserve and that they need. I mean, it's just getting to be ridiculous, and I shouldn't be talking, because I get upset, and I know I'm going to run right. I got a meeting very shortly, and I'm going to go right over to the other side, and I'm going to look for one of the governor's aides and explain it to them. And they've heard it before, but maybe if they heard it from me enough times, they'll get sick of it and do something about it. But keep up the good work. Don't get discouraged.
Sir.
We're all behind you, and thank you very much.
Ask the governor's administration if we could have a public hearing on this issue, so that there's everybody could have the chance. The colonel and the union and the membership, the public and the elected leaders have a voice in what's going on.
We don't want to have a public hearing, because then they might not hear. They might hear what they don't want to hear.
Yeah, true.
Can't have that. All right, thanks, Danny.
Okay, thank you very much.
Have a good trip to Hartford. We'll be right back.
In keeping with the holiday shopping season, we hereby declare tomorrow, December 3rd,
Benny's 20% off Tuesday.
That's 20% off our already famous low prices on everything, current sale items excluded. It's our way of saying thank you to the generations of loyal Southern New England families who have supported us since 1924. So there's no better time to save on your holiday gift list than tomorrow at all 32 Benny's locations.
Benny's 20% off Tuesday. 20% off Tuesday. toys, bikes, sporting goods, electronics, and appliances.
Denny's, 20% off Tuesday.
20% off tires, batteries, tools, electrical, even that little bulb for inside your refrigerator.
Denny's, 20% off Tuesday.
20% off holiday lighting and decorations.
Denny's, 20% off Tuesday.
That's tomorrow only, and only at Denny's.
Find a store near you at HelloBennies.com. Denny's, your favorite store, every day, especially tomorrow.
Aw, look at that face. Don't you just love him? And Mimi's promised to take care of him. She's wanted a dog for so long.
She sure has one now. Where did you find this guy?
The Connecticut Humane Society.
Was he a rescue?
You betcha.
How did you know he was the one?
The Connecticut Humane Society took the time to interview us to see if we're a good match.
Oh, kind of like an online dating service.
Hey, it worked for us.
For over 135 years, the Connecticut Humane Society has been the first name in animal rescue, saving the lives of over 5,000 pets a year. They specialize in rescue and adoption, as well as medical and training services for their pets. And your generosity makes it all possible. Please support the Connecticut Humane Society with a gift this holiday season.
Sit down. You know, I never did get a chance to thank you.
For what?
For rescuing me.
Aww.
Find your furry forever match at the Connecticut Humane Society. Visit cthumane.org.
The September issue of Connecticut Magazine has named Sweet Evelina's Stand among the best pizza in the state. Try their delicious and creative pizza recipes every Wednesday through Sunday at Sweet Evelina's. Their Sunday football special is back. Tell them you want the football special and get a large cheese pizza for just $8.99. Limit two per customer at Sweet Evelina's Stand, Route 169 in Woodstock. Proud to sponsor Centaur Scoop every Tuesday morning at 7:25 on WINY. All aboard!
The New England Patriots host the Cleveland Browns this week at Gillette Stadium with a 1 p.m. kickoff and a 12:50 airtime Sunday afternoon right here on 1350 a.m. The Patriots know they need to play their best every week in order to be ready for the playoffs. Hear all of the bone-crunching hits right here on WINY, 1350 a.m. Your home for New England Patriots football in northeastern Connecticut. The New England Patriots on WINY are brought to you by Girardi Insurance Services.
If you've ever visited Girardi Insurance Services in Putnam, you've noticed their big, beautiful aquarium. But what you probably didn't know is that at night, when everyone goes home, there's a whole other world inside that tank.
Don't forget, the electrician should be here any minute.
I'll get it.
Hi, I'm Daryl.
I'm his brother, Daryl.
We're the Electric Eel Brothers Electrical Contractors.
Our prices are fantastic. Get it? Yeah, we're fish. I get it.
I came up with that one myself.
Brilliant.
Now be nice, dear.
You guys are insured, right?
Yes, sir. We're fully insured with Progressive. They insure our work truck along with everything inside of it.
Progressive?
Yeah, we just love that flow. She's cute as a tadpole.
Well, I use Girardi Insurance.
So do we.
Really? I thought you...
Of course. They carry the complete line of Progressive Insurance.
And they're awfully nice people. Yes, they certainly are. Well, come right in, gentlemen.
Like them on Facebook and see them online at GirardiInsurance.com.
Killingly Parks and Recreation does it again with two great events, Frosty's Big Night Out and Breakfast with Santa. It all starts Friday, December 6th, when Frosty the Snowman makes his way to Davis Park in downtown Danielson. Kids can join up with Frosty and friends at 5:45 p.m. at the Commerce Avenue parking lot. Then Frosty will lead the parade to Davis Park at 6 p.m. There will be Christmas caroling with the Killingly High School Chorus at Davis Park and treats for everyone. Then on Saturday, December 7th, it's Breakfast with Santa at the Killingly Community Center on Broad Street. Santa will be there from 8 to 11 a.m. Tickets are $5 per person or $20 for a family of five. Enjoy a delicious breakfast and photos with Santa. So don't miss these back-to-back events. Frosty's Big Night Out this Friday night at 6 p.m. at Davis Park and Breakfast with Santa Saturday from 8 to 11 at the Killingly Community Center. Produced by the Killingly Recreation Department.
Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays.
The Killingly Business Association urges you to shop at home this year at locally owned business. You'll find selection, competitive prices, and outstanding customer service. Save time and money and get the quality products and services you deserve. This holiday season, choose locally owned business. Choose the Killingly Business Association and be sure to like them on Facebook.
Sunnyside Farms, your one-stop shop. Whether it's a hot coffee, cappuccino, ATMs, or cold beer, Sunnyside Farms is open early and closes late and open Christmas and New Year's Day.
May your days be merry and bright. Happy holidays from Christian, Rachel, Renee, Kim, and Jamie from the law offices of Serentopolis and Serentopolis, 143 School Street in Danielson.
Todd's House of Carpets has a bigger selection of in-stock carpet, vinyl, laminate, and area rugs than the big box store with expert installation.
Community Radio, W-I-N-Y. And we're back. We'll go to the phone. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. Is it me?
It is.
Oh, finally. I love the ads.
I so do we, because if it wasn't for the ads, I wouldn't be here.
I know, they're mean to you. No, I had the phone against my ear all the time. I have another question, or actually the same question I've had all along. I live alone. A lot of my friends here in Woodstock, very rural Woodstock, are widows. They live alone. They live off the road. You know, nobody really, there's no close neighbors where we live. I have an ADT system, or, you know, those home security systems. Now, supposedly, if somebody tries to break into my house, the alarm goes off and it notifies the only police in the area, which would be the state police. And I don't think anybody is going to respond if somebody tries to either break into my house or if there's a home invasion, which is happening more and more to elderly women who live alone. One woman, 85, was pretty well beaten up. Who is going to respond? I don't think anybody's going to respond to that.
Well, ma'am, we don't want you to have that concern.
I don't want that concern either. Yeah. But
That's not the case. That's not what's happening. If you sent off a panic alarm or reported that there was a home invasion or some type of serious crime that's active, we will send everybody and anybody available, both on and off duty troopers. So you shouldn't leave here today thinking that. What we're here to say is, before, if you called the troop, you would get immediate two people to answer your call, put out over the radio immediately to start heading to your address. What the dispatch consolidation did briefly is when you call, you have four call takers. Before, we had nine people amongst the four troops answering calls immediately, being able to push the button to send a message, talk to the troopers in the field. What happens now is you call and you get one of four call takers for the entire eastern part of the state. That call taker will take your information and put it into a computer, and then they'll ask you some questions. Before they hang up, they'll send the information over the computer to the dispatcher for Troop D in Danielson. Then the dispatcher will dispatch over the radio. What our concern is that we're finding there's about a 2 to 5 minute delay in information accurately getting out to the membership, the troopers in the field. That's what we're here to address today. We are coming to you. We will come to you. We will come with the full support and force of the Connecticut State Police, regardless of whether that's the TAC team, the emergency services, gangs, narcotics, anybody, troopers in the field. We're coming to you as quickly as possible.
Yeah, hopefully there's somebody in this area and not in Tolland and not in Montville. And not, you know, and I know how far away they are.
Right.
I'd hate to hold my breath hiding under my bed with my cat, waiting for somebody to drive back from Tolland.
Well, and you're the primary example of why we're here, ma'am, because Woodstock doesn't have a resident trooper program. And your only trooper is, you know, could be
anywhere
15 to 20 minutes away, depending on what's going on in the field. So we're here to express that. We think dispatch consolidation could work, but the colonel has to address the lack of proper staffing in the field. Troop C in Tolland, because of centralized dispatch, was able to reconfigure their entire patrol area so that one trooper only has two towns. One trooper actually is fortunate enough to have the town of Union and a stretch of 84 from the Mass line to exit 69. What we're saying is, how is it that one troop benefits? We get that. We want that to happen. But that should happen for all four troops in the east. It should not mean that Troop D is stretched even thinner because troopers have to travel outside their troop area.
Well, hopefully I'll never need to use my security system. Or hopefully nobody ever tries to break in when I'm not at home, because supposedly if they break in, the alarm will go off anyway. But I like to feel that there is security for me. And, I mean, I'm the kid. I'm only 75. I've got friends who are 87, 95, 92, and they live alone. They have occasional visitors, but we're still healthy and rugged, I guess.
Well, for the bad guys in the field listening to this
conversation. Oh, I'm not telling them. Yeah, I live on the moon.
Yeah, yeah. We want them to understand that it's the patrol staff that's on duty all the time, but we have troopers on and off duty, both off duty. We have the use of our cruisers. We are on the radio. There are people floating through the areas, so it's not just the people that are on patrol. However, like I said before, in the northeast corner, it's a very rural area. Not a lot of troopers are looking to live in Danielson or Killingly. So.
Well, maybe they can choose Woodstock. It's very lovely.
We do have a few troopers that live in Woodstock.
So. Yeah, I know, but one's down the street, but I don't think he would respond to a call for what would happen to me. I think he's on traffic duty.
Let's.
Okay, I'll let you go, but
thank you very much for reassuring me.
Thank you.
Have a good holiday.
Be safe.
Oh, man. You know, it's... you're hearing the same things I've been hearing for weeks, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I think it's one thing that's important to bring up, Paul, is there's a report done by an in-house study done by the colonel himself. He signed off on it September of 2012. In that report, it talks about each troop and unit within the state police, specifically for Troop D in Danielson. I'll quote it. It says, quote, "There are simply not enough personnel assigned to Troop D Danielson to adequately police the assigned area. This results in extended response times, less availability for backup, and a greater risk to the personnel responding to calls." And it goes on and on about how...
And this came from...
The colonel himself. This study
was done...
So
he acknowledges this a problem.
Yeah, and then when I confronted him with it, he said he didn't agree with his own study. So, I mean, you can't have it both ways. It's either you want to properly... You take your oath of office seriously, enforce, you know, protect your people and protect the public.
It's fairly obvious at some point in time when you said what you just said in that paper that you've got, that politics has reared its ugly head and involved itself in public safety, because Colonel Stebbins has superiors who are probably budget conscious who are telling him, maybe you think that way, but it isn't going to happen.
Right.
Here we go. And listen, let's talk about the Killingly Resident Troopers toy drive. There are two, actually. At Benny's, both Benny's in Killingly, Walmart in Putnam, Kmart in Putnam, Walmart in Brooklyn, and the Ocean State Job Lot in Brooklyn, they're both December 7th and 14th, from 9:30 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon, you can drop off toys for the toy drive. And the troopers will be there with their cruisers, and you'll be able to recognize them in uniform. And they will hopefully make somebody's Christmas a little bit brighter. There's also one in Chaplin. For those of you who live in the Chaplin area, there's a toy drive from 9 to 3 at the Chaplin Firehouse on December 7th. So, you know, keep that in mind. It's a time of the year when, the food banks are getting hit hard. People are down, and especially in this part of the state. And those of you who are listening who are not from this part of the state, understand that. This is not a rich part of the state. We're good people, caring people, and very charitable with each other. Could use a little help from Hartford. Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Is it me?
It is.
Okay. Happy holidays to both of you.
Thank you.
You too, ma'am.
I don't quite understand all the politics or the ranks of the police departments. I'm a resident of Putnam, and there's always plenty of police, and I'm very grateful for that. But I was wondering, you know, Putnam isn't a very big town, and Killingly and Brooklyn and that area is much bigger. How come they can't kind of get together? It doesn't make any sense. I don't know how big Putnam is, but...
Putnam's one of the smaller towns in the 10-town area, land area-wise.
And how many police do we have?
Well, you have the police only cover the special services district, the commercial district of Putnam. As soon as you get into the outskirts of Putnam, that's now state police territory.
Okay. And then we get into, like, Danielson and Brooklyn. I mean, they're bigger towns. And they don't think the police are necessary?
Who?
The politics people?
It's a matter of coverage. In response time. This is really as much about response time as anything else. I mean, if you call the barracks, ma'am, and you're really hurting, I mean, if somebody's trying to break into your house or somebody, you know, whatever, and you think it's an emergency, You want somebody there yesterday.
Yes.
And the state police who are on the road, who do the job, are trying to tell us that there is too much of a delay in their ability to respond to calls. And that the moves that have been made are really not the money savers they've been touted to be. And that they're claiming they should have done the dispatching thing years ago. It's going to be more efficient. But when you talk about transportation of prisoners out of the district and all the other thing, the bells and whistles that go on at the state level, the road trooper is not being helped by this.
What about the gas back and forth? I mean, how is that saving money
It isn't, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Well, I just wanted you to have a happy holiday, and thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye. Appreciate it.
One of the other concerns we have, Paul, is it's not just the delay in information and response time. It's actually we're seeing at Troop D in Danielson the frequency increasing of troopers asking for help on the radio, calling dispatch, and they're not being responded to for lengthy periods of time.
Oh,
at some point, that's going to become very critical when there's a critical incident occurring and somebody's life's at risk.
Somebody's going to get hurt. So. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Tammy. Another new counselor being sworn in tonight.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
That thing about the resolution, you think you can make that happen?
I don't know. I don't know, Paul. I'd be honest with you. I just got out of the gym,
Lynn LeBurge called, and uh-huh. I said this kind of occurred to me. If the town of Killingley is probably the most greatly impacted by the point of refuge thing, and it does impact the town. And if that place is closed at certain points of time, it's certainly not a benefit to the town. I would say that a resolution from the town council to ask the governor to restore the full service of our barracks would not be untoward.
That resolution.
In other words, make a new
call. Okay, absolutely would be in favor of that. I run and I walk on the streets here in Killingley. I've gone into the barracks and reported things in the past. I know that people. I live right behind the barracks, and their new little doorbell. I hear it all the time. It's like, oh, the door must be unlocked. It's definitely something that I would definitely support as a counselor. I know Bruce Benway was pretty hot about the whole barracks being closed. The night we met with Sergeant Matthews, it took almost 5 minutes for somebody to come and open the door for us when we were outside. So that kind of a delay, if you had somebody physically chasing you and the incidents of that are increasing, because as you know, we lead the state in child abuse and domestic violence.
Yes.
So it's an area of refuge. This is, Troop D, even though whether Colonel Stevens likes it or not, that is our local police department. That is our area of refuge. And if we're not able to go there, then where are we going to go? So.
Okay. Well, Tammy, I hope you and Lynn will sponsor that resolution to send to the governor. Maybe he just, I don't think he probably knows this because it's not good politics. So usually, if a politician does something to hurt himself, he probably doesn't know he's hurting himself.
Well, he has to take some responsibility because it is his commissioner and it is,
The buck stops at the top, no question.
He needs to be paying attention. If he's not, then I hope he gets a clue real fast.
Well, so. If you send him a resolution, it's certainly going to have some weight behind it.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to let Sergeant Matthews know that I took his initiative and did send out to as many friends as I had about Colonel Stevens' phone number and his email. So hopefully he was getting a few more things from Northeastern Connecticut.
All right, Tammy, good luck and congratulations on being sworn in tonight.
All right, thanks, Paul. You have a great day.
You too.
And actually, as a public servant, the Colonel, that's his department-issued cell phone number, so it should be accessible to the public. And we would quickly say to the town of Killingley that they actually understand the importance of public safety. We're fortunate that the town of Killingley actually budgets for 4 resident troopers because they understand the frequency of criminal activity in the town. They understand that the state police gives them a myriad of services for that, but we really appreciate the town of Killingley, because if they don't have resident troopers, their constituents aren't serviced and don't receive the public safety that they deserve.
There you go. Colonel Stebbins' phone number, 860-930-3625, 930-3625. email D-A-N-N-Y, Danny, dot, S-T-E-B-B-I-N-S, at ct.gov. Give him a call. Let him know how you feel. I mean, folks, this is ours to do. I mean, nobody's going to do this for us. We can ask for our representatives to give us help. We can ask for our town councilors to give us help. If you feel that we're being denied some of the service that we've traditionally had, give a call. Because otherwise, they may win and you may lose. We all may lose. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Paul.
Hey, how are you this morning?
I'm not too bad. I am totally for the police department, the state police in Danielson.
Thank you.
I cannot understand this man's logic. I think you need to make him live out here with no car for a while and have an emergency, mock emergency, and see how he likes it. Number two, I do not understand what he wants to save money. They just got the dispatch center on 101 fixed.
Oh, that's a different dispatch, ma'am. That's not the state police dispatch. That's
for
ambulance and health.
They moved it to QV to Talland.
Oh, well, they used the one in the barracks. They moved to Talland.
Oh, so QV's still coming out of Danielson.
QV is actually dispatched in East Killingly.
Yeah, okay. But I am totally for you guys. Could I have that email address, please? Because I just...
It's a D-A-N-N-Y dot S-T-E-B-B-I-N-S.
Hey, I don't know shorthand. Danny at S-P.
No, Danny. D-A-N-N-Y.
Yep.
Dot.
Dot.
S-T.
Yeah.
E-B.
Yep.
B-I-N-S. At C-T. Dot G-O-V.
Okay. I'm for you guys. My good friend is a state trooper in Danielson, and I don't want to see anything happen to him or any of you. I mean, I know people who have dropped their child off with a custody dispute type thing, and he misses it because he can't prove that she wasn't there, or he was there dropping off the kid and she doesn't show up.
All right. Ma'am, I thank you for your call.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Get a hold of these people.
I sure will, sir.
All right.
Bye-bye. Paul, one important thing she brought up was QV's dispatch. What we're seeing as a result of centralized dispatch is that QV will get information, whereas before we got it pretty quickly.
Uh-huh.
They're now, QV will call the new centralized dispatch in Talland, talk to a call taker, there's another delay, whereas troopers are sitting in the troop and see the ambulance or the fire trucks driving by, and they didn't before where they would go with them. They're getting there later.
Being told.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We're not going away on this, folks. These gentlemen are going to have to leave today, but the problem's not going away, and the message isn't going away either. We're going to stay on this until we get somebody to talk to it. And unfortunately, the legislature doesn't get back until the 1st of February, roughly.
February 5th.
But and at that point in time, it's going to be an issue. Make yourself heard. We'll be back.
W-I-N-Y in Putnam. Happy holiday.
We're back and we'll go to the phone. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
The question for you and the officers in the building. As we look at the consolidation that the state wants to do at this level, are they effectively trying to... tell Eastern Connecticut that they should be more countywide with regards to the police and that they want to reduce the amount of cost that the state is putting out in patrols? Is there any feedback on that within the organization? Outside of consolidating call centers, is there another phase to this that we don't know about? Because it's obviously not publicized.
Well, that's a good question. The only person that could answer that is either the colonel or the commissioner, but the union leadership believes that what the effects of centralized dispatch will do at some point, and we've already seen some of that in the Western District, is it's actually putting a tremendous amount of strain on the local towns and municipalities. So they feel to feel more secure and have their taxpayers, constituents feel more secure, they're taking action, and that is by creating a resident trooper program or adding constables to their town to provide more of an immediate service, and to the point where when a resident trooper makes an arrest and they don't want them traveling great distances to like Litchfield, so they have the local patrol troopers take the arrestee to the troop for them. So they're at the towns and municipalities like Brooklyn, Killingly, and Chaplin are impacted because they're picking up the cost, not only 100% of the overtime, but 70% of the resident troopers. So we think that it's a good question. It's likely that towns in the future will try to budget more for resident troopers, which we would appreciate, because then that provides more coverage.
So in effect, what you're telling me is that this is, and I'm looking at it from a big picture standpoint here, is that the areas that they've done this consolidation first in are not highly populated or high densely populated areas, and that, you know, they're effectively saying if you want good police coverage from the state or wherever, you're going to have to pony up more money to get that.
Or move to a location, and that's our message. Is it shouldn't depend on where you live, shouldn't depend on what type of police service you get. So if you live in a rural area in Connecticut, what we're saying is just properly staff patrol to make sure that the citizens are getting what they deserve, and the troopers are getting adequate backup.
You know, axiomatic to what you're saying, sir, is that if the people in the towns are not satisfied and the state won't do anything, it puts pressure on town officials to pony up the money to take care of public safety on their own, which right. puts more pressure on the budget. It's you know, it just follows the chain.
Well, what I'm really getting at, Paul, is that effectively pushing the cost down to us, that they used to have, you know, I don't want to go back and ask the question about, you know, staffing profiles over the last 25 years. We all know that there's been some reductions in the amount of staffing out here based on hours, coverage, and availability. You know, I just see this as another phase of this. That's why I was bringing up the question.
Okay.
Great question.
Thanks for your call. You know, the other thing that I've spoken about, and in fact people talk to me about, is that we have had more state police lieutenants over there. It would be good to have one guy for a while so we could get used to the area. They've been coming in and out here like a merry-go-round. You can't even remember one guy's name because he leaves and somebody else comes in. And that's not an efficient way to run an operation, because every time you change, you got to change the SOP a little bit. You got his own style. You're constantly changing styles. The people doing the job, it's disruptive.
His or her style.
There you go. Excuse me, I'm Neil Chauvinist pig. Right. All right. Yes, you're right. Let's grab another call here. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
I was just wondering if you could talk a little about what is known as community policing. It's sort of like a neighborhood watch, only I think people are on even a payroll, if I put it that way, to help the police out, to watch other people in their community. Do you know anything much about that?
Yeah, briefly, community-based policing is a theory within the police department where troopers or police officers get out and actually interact more with the public. We do that with our resident trooper program, our quality of life task force. Should we be able to do more of it? Yeah, if we had more personnel that could actually attend
right,
to those
things.
Right, you can't
be everywhere, I know that.
Yeah, during good economic times.
Are they specific people, or are they people like you just see a number and if you're scared or if you think there's something suspicious, call the police, it gives you a number. But I mean, are there actual people besides police on the police payroll that are paid to watch their neighbors and spy on generally well-behaved citizens?
No, ma'am. Know? There wouldn't be additional personnel on the state police that would do that.
That's comforting to hear. And I had one more thing.
Communities.
We have everything in this town, and we got these local parks, beautiful parks. I mean, this town, you don't have to leave it, has everything. And thanks for that, Light Parade. I mean, everything. Well, I tried to keep up my health, and by doing that all my life, God has blessed me to be able to ride my bike at 73. So I didn't ride my bike up at Dog Hill. I don't know if you know where that is in Dayville.
Yeah, we do.
Yes, ma'am.
It's up behind the post office.
We know where it is, ma'am.
Yeah, okay. A couple of times I nearly got pushed off And these are by these little kids, like 11, 12 years old. And so I'm bigger than they are, and I have a bike, and I'm not afraid of them, you know. But going down further, there's like an embankment at the end of the road where it goes almost to Valley Street. There's a big embankment where you have to slow down, and they jump right out of there.
Well, I think you, but you need to call that in, man. But I've got to go right now, though.
No, I won't keep you, but I just wanted to be clear on who is allowed to report other people. You can't really have your neighbor call you for nothing.
Ma'am, you can, anytime you go, you feel there's a problem, you call and they'll put it on the list.
Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Okay, ma'am. And we're back. We've only got a couple of minutes left. I do have to ask you, Andy Matthews, being a state policeman, have you been intimidated in any way as the union president? I mean, which is, by the way, illegal under labor law, but has it happened?
Well, without giving too much detail right now, we did recently have an incident where our colonel, we feel that it's a illustration of how much the union leadership is correct, and just so happens as the president, I'm the spokesperson, so the colonel actually resorted to physical contact with me. The board of directors is taking action as we speak now. Today we'll be sending a letter to the governor's office. But the colonel should know, and he should know by now, that after 3.5 years of representing the membership as strong as we have, we're not easily intimidated, and regardless of the consequences, we're going to continue to do what's in the best interest of the members, not the colonel or the governor themselves. And our message is the colonel, after the vote of no confidence that we did, we've seen an increase in even more frustration of the members. He needs to understand that he cannot succeed as a leader of the agency without the membership. And the colonel should take seriously his oath to protect the troopers and the public and not worry about his budget as much as he has. It's easy to try to intimidate or attack the union president or the leadership and their character and integrity. But the truth is, I've had bad ideas in my life, and I've stopped and paused and taken responsibility for it and changed it, and he should too do the same.
So. Representative Rivera said it well. Don't give up. Communicate with us. The people of Eastern Connecticut are obviously for this. You heard not a negative call today. Haven't heard one yet. We're WIOI in Putnam. Gentlemen, thank you for coming in.